A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Brackets are for everyone. This is for bettors. The VSiN March Betting Challenge still going. It's not too late to get in on the action. We're down to the Sweet 16 in this round. You have to make five picks, spreads or totals. Still plenty of prizes still on the line, including one for the highest score from the Sweet 16 onward. And if you have a free Edge Boost account, every prize doubles. Head to VSiN.com/contest and get your picks in now. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Always appreciate everyone hanging out with us each and every morning. We have some listener questions for our next guest. Jake Hahn joins us now to talk some NHL, but also other sports as well, because he's betting other things.
That's right.
You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's J-H-A-H-N and the number 4. Of course, co-host on The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show. Those at SiriusXM NHL, co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice Podcast as well. And NHL Fantasy joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, what's happening?
Oh, not too much, guys. Happy to be here. Still a great time in the sports calendar. Like you said, it's the more than just hockey for me right now. I was enjoying some March Madness over the weekend, been into the Miami tennis. I know you would certainly be dialed into that as well, Gil, and getting ready for some more games on Thursday for March Madness, but 15 games in the NHL tonight. So tonight's going to be very much owned by the National Hockey League. I'm looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that. How did you do at Valspar, by the way? You bet that?
Not as well as I did at the Players, guys. I couldn't go back-to-back after the Cam Young call, unfortunately. But when you hit a winner, you kind of, you know, you feel a little free and easy the next week.
Right.
It's sort of like, okay, I'd love to hit another one. Of course I would. But if things don't go your way, it's a little bit easier to take. Brooks Koepka just kind of lurked for me all week. He was right there. I couldn't get the driver going at all. He's really struggled to hit fairways. Iron play was great, though, which I guess if you're trying to make a case for Brooks at the Masters, which I don't know if I'm going to be in on betting him for the Masters, guys, but it is the second shot golf course. And if his approach play is like that, and maybe you can make the case, but he's going to have to figure out the driver. Funny enough, this week's kind of sets up perfect for Brooksy at the Houston Open, a course where you could just let it rip, wide open fairways. If that's how he's going to be driving the ball, maybe he is actually live this week at Houston.
Yeah. Also another important note with that is Brooks helping with the redesign of this course too. So yeah, I would think at least a bit of an advantage there, Gil. You know,
put that there.
Yeah, but get rid of that trap. I've had problems with that.
Get rid of that tree. It's annoying. That kind of thing. All right, we have a listener question about the NHL. Before we get to your picks, because you have sides and you have an angle on something else. This is from Ice Goon, who says, two questions for Jake. Let's take the first one first. He goes, how does an alleged NHL team only get 9 shots on goal in a game? He's referring to the Rangers, who only mustered 9 shots on goal. Was that last night?
That was last night. There was only one game, so everybody in the hockey world was watching this game, unfortunately, for the Rangers. There was no other games to distract them, and they're facing an Ottawa Senators team that is probably the best shot suppression team in the NHL right now, maybe outside of the Carolina Hurricanes. So to be honest, guys, I watch a lot of hockey. I think there was a lot of people maybe watching the Sens for the first time in a while last night. This is what they do to teams, and especially teams like, I mean, the Rangers stink. We've kind of known that for a while, but the Sens do this to good teams sometimes as well. They just suppress shots with the best of them. Now, unfortunately for Ottawa, they're down their best defenseman already in Jake Sanderson, a guy that, you know, was playing at the U.S. for the Olympic team, really, really good defenseman. And they lost Thomas Chabot last night, took a nasty cross check at the end of the first period. He'd be their next best defenseman. He left the game, and it sounds like he's going to be out for some time. So the Sens depth chart getting depleted on the back end, guys. But that's my reasoning. They're just really good defensively. They have been for a long time. One of my favorite plays on the card last night was James Reimer under 20.5 saves for the Senators. That one cashed quite easily because the Rangers couldn't muster much of anything.
I'm looking up the fewest amount of shots in an NHL game by a team. You have any idea what it might be?
5-0.
According to what I'm looking at StatMuse, the New York Rangers took 0 versus the Red Wings on October 12, 1958. Who could forget that?
Even
game?
In 58, how is that possible?
I don't know.
You'd think when you're at 0 for that long, at some point you just get over the red line.
Right.
You don't even have to get over the blue line. Just get over center ice.
Just slap
fire
it.
One at the goaltender, yeah. And just get something on the board. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean, like you always think about basketball, right? Like, hey, we're going to pass it 3 times before we shoot because guys are chucking it up too much. Like in hockey, wouldn't at that point in the third period of that game, isn't the coach has to be like, once you get past the blue line, just shoot it.
What if the
go ahead. Do Jake. We trust the 1950s shot counter guys?
I was going to say this
guy could have just taken the night off. Who knows what that guy was up to back then?
Oh, man. It's so true because Then I'm looking at something else and said, oh, the 9 shots tied a franchise record for fewest shots in a game. Dury lost to the Red Wings in 1955. So there seems to be some oddities here with this. And there were so many great moments when Kelly, Matt, and I did primetime action, but some of these hit trigger in my brain, memory of it. When Kelly and I first discovered, when you first told us, or maybe it was Andy McNeil who told us, I can't remember, it might have been you, Jake. Shots that hit the post are not shots on goal. These are subjective things where the count that count as shots on goal.
But if a goalie goes outside of the goal and makes a save, that counts as a shot on goal, correct, Jake?
It used to. Now things have changed a little bit where they're a lot more stingy with shots. If you even just look at save percentages across the league right now, way down across the board for goaltenders. And a lot of people are going, well, our goaltender's just worse now. You know, what's going on? Our shooter's just better. And look, these guys can rip the puck. No doubt about it. Basically everybody, even the fourth line guys now can really shoot it. But that is something that's drastically changed if you've watched it over the last few years. Those shots that Kelly just mentioned, those, you know, outside, not even going to the net at all, used to be a freebie save for the goalie, pad the stats a little bit. Those don't count as shots anymore. And I think that's a big reason why you're seeing save percentages go down the way they are.
Mm. Okay, here's the other question from Ice Goon, which is, there are realistically 4 teams fighting for the second wild card spot in the West. Who gets it? He says, I'm a Kings fan, but have us plus 325 to miss. Easiest schedule left, but too inconsistent to make it, right? He says, by the way, the Predators are the team that currently inhabit the number 2 wild card position.
Yeah, the Preds with 4 wins in a row now find themselves in a playoff spot, and a lot of people left them for dead early in the season. They play the Sharks tonight too, and both 2 teams go in opposite directions. So Nashville has a chance to build off of that, but I still like LA to make it here, guys. I know Kings fans are probably frustrated coming off the weekend, but the weekend was the tougher part of their schedule. They played Buffalo on Saturday, then they had to go to Utah on a road back-to-back. They lost that game in overtime. So they did lose both games. They were able to find a point, what I thought was a tough spot on Sunday in Utah. This is now where it gets easy. Tonight in Calgary, 3 against Vancouver. There's another one against the Flames. I think they play the Leafs in there. 2 against Nashville that, you know, now all of a sudden maybe not looking as easy, but they're both in LA. So I know Kings fans are probably frustrated right now, but the schedule still sets up for them. The one angle I do like, though, is looking at teams to miss the playoffs instead of teams to make it. I do find you get a little bit of better value on that because a lot of people want to bet teams to make the playoffs. So if you are looking at teams to miss, that's probably the angle to go for.
Yeah, he's got Kings to miss. Okay, you have 2 sides, you have a total, and you have a parlay. What do you got? What are the sides? Let's start there.
Yeah, let's go with the sides here, guys. We just talked about Ottawa, right? The shot suppression. Now, unfortunately, this Thomas Chabot injury does not look good and sounds like he's certainly going to be out for tonight and sounds like they could be without him for the foreseeable future. Jake Sanderson's not coming back soon. So I don't know what the Sens blue line is going to look like for this game. Guys like Tyler Cleven, Jordan Spence, they're going to have to step up and play a few more minutes in this one. And they are on a road back to back. I don't really care. I just like how this Sens team is playing. I don't love how the Red Wings have been playing now for a while. They've got injuries of their own. So even on a back-to-back, I'm going with the Ottawa Senators. They saved their starting goaltender for this matchup. They started veteran James Reimer last night against the Rangers team that we talked about could barely get a shot on goal. So I like Linus Ullmark and the Sens to find a way to win. I think we're getting a good number because of all those factors I mentioned working against Ottawa in this situation.
You're also on the Hurricanes.
I'm going to go with the Hurricanes here, guys. Look, this is a tough week for the Montreal Canadiens setting up for them. They get the Canes here. They have the Jackets on Thursday who are playing some great hockey, and they do get the Canes again on Sunday. They also play, I believe it's Nashville on Saturday. I have to double check that, but they have 2 road games on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So 4 games this week, and Montreal's had a great season, but this is the kind of week that could really trip you up. You lose a few of these games. They might find a way to win a couple. I don't know if it's tonight. I think Carolina is really dialing in their game for the playoffs here. I think a bad matchup for the Montreal Canadiens. So give me the Canes.
All right. The total is the Caps Blues under 6.
Yeah, this is a bit of a trend play for me, guys. I'm not a huge trend bettor, but I think when I see one like this and just my eyes, when I watch these teams, when I watch these games, the St. Louis Blues, it's been a bad season, but they are kind of fighting down the stretch here. And they're playing a really tight brand of hockey. 10 of their last 11 games have not gone over a total of 5. They've been playing some very tight, low scoring games. Capitals need wins to try to desperately get back in this thing. I think they'd be happy playing a low scoring road game here to try to pick up their 2 points. So give me the under 6 in the Caps Blues game.
And what's the parlay, Jake?
The parlay, again, like I said, I don't usually bet trends. I'm not a huge money line parlay bettor either, but I think this time of the year, this is something you could take a look at. I struggle to find how Boston's going to lose this game to the Maple Leafs tonight, but I don't trust them to play them on the puck line or in regulation because the Bruins go to overtime quite a bit. So I'm going to take the Bruins. I'm going to play them on the money line. I'll put them with the Dallas Stars, who are, you know, coming off of a bit of a tough weekend. I think a bounce back spot here against the New Jersey Devils team that's completely out of it. So Bruins Stars on the money line parlay.
Okay. Jake, next time you're here, let's talk about that three-way tie angle that you sort of mentioned before. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's a great angle this time of year, guys. Teams get desperate to at least get that point in the third period.
Okay, we shall do that. Jake Hahn, everybody. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this week.
You too. Jay Hahn 4, H-A-H-N, the number 4, on Twitter. Matty Cox, Sweet 16, next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game brought to you by ProfitX. Free trips worth up to $10,000. That's what ProfitX is putting on the line for the King of March. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals, hit your volume goal, and you're entered. No sign-up fee, no entry free. Hit $1,000 in volume for the $5,000 trip. $10,000 in volume for the $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go. Download ProfitX today and use code VSINMM. Absolutely love ProfitX as well. We get tweets beating the book. Let me just read a few here. This is from Chris Squires at D Bamalot. I think I'm saying that correctly. He says, Gil wanted to add a different angle on that great observation by Fezzik on the Rockies. If you're higher on the Rocks than the market, a lot of the advanced metrics are, betting the worst record at MLB has value. I personally bet Nats 7-1, Angels 23-1, White Sox 20-1. So Chris is saying he doesn't like the Rockies to get the worst record, so there's value elsewhere. That's the beauty of baseball betting, man. There's something for everyone.
Yeah, and we've heard a couple of those this offseason, right? What are they, minus 400 or something absurd to have the worst record? So, yeah, we've heard a couple of those.
Boz at Jump Ball says, I like that, Jump Ball. See what he did there? Mm-hmm. Jump Ball. Bruin Stars parlay seems dangerously easy. He says, I'll ride. Nick Kendhammer. Oh, I was talking about Todd Golden's defense on the last sequence in the Gators game over the weekend where they lost to Iowa we'll cover the inbounds pass and then the inbounds pass catcher will be already ahead of three defenders and they get the three. They get any shot they want, really. He said Florida D was bad on that last play, but apparently KenPom would tell, I don't understand what he's saying, would tell coaches, but every coach, like most with analytics, said GTFO. I don't have to say that out loud. I didn't understand that sentence. He goes, but Golden did that while at San Fran as well. Yeah, let me clarify. In theory, I don't hate the analytics play of fouling the correct guy when up to. Obviously, you don't want to foul an 89% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
But if you can foul the correct guy, you're going to overtime at worst with the better team. So I kind of get it. It's just that the execution of it all was just so bad. It was just a disaster. They give up the three and that's it.
I mean,
Florida's bounced.
We talked about it yesterday. I'd be lying if I sat here and said that I've thought about it ever before in a college basketball game to foul up to. In theory, I love the idea because nothing drives me more nuts than watching these kids miss free throw after free throw in the tournament.
And I love a coach who's thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. It makes tons of sense. But then the anti-analytics crowd, they'll see a play like that and they'll see it botched so horribly. And that's great fodder for them to just be like, why don't you worry about playing defense? And they might be right about that. Mm-hmm. Matty Cox joins us now to talk Sweet 16. He's part of the 3-Man Weave crew. You can follow them on Twitter at 3MW underscore CBB. You can follow Matt at Matty with a Y underscore COX. How you doing, Matt?
Doing good, fellas. Now enjoying your sort of framing the debate of some end game strategy here. The key thing with the rule changes this year is a lot of coaches scared to foul when they're up three because of the continuation, the way they're sort of giving more leeway to that. And then you also have to not only trust your players to execute, which we saw Florida sort of fail. And then the referees have to, you know, do their part and call it, you know, square on the button, which obviously is, you know, not always the best Zebras doing college games. So yeah, I see both sides, per usual. There's never a black and white story to any of this stuff.
Once again, you've brought up something that I talked about on air yesterday. And then after the show, I gave Fezzik all his flowers earlier today about the baseball plays. But he went on and on about this, right? I mentioned on the show the end game of Kansas and St. John's, how if Fezzik is like, oh my God, they're idiots. They used all their fouls to give before the 6 second mark. And I'm like, well, Steve, directionally, you are correct. But everything you just said, Matt, is what I pointed out to him over and over again, which is, but none of this is so, you can't execute this with perfection, especially with teenage kids, right, on a basketball court. And there's always the river, I don't know, continuation. Then you worry, oh my God, what's the ref going to call? None of this is perfect, right? None of this is absolute. So I agree with what you're saying on that stuff, Matt. Okay, let's do these one by one. I'm just curious, give us 30 seconds or however long you want to go on each of these. Let's start with Thursday games. I'll do these in chronological order. Texas, Purdue. Purdue favored by a touchdown now. This is lower than it was yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, Purdue, just a good statistical nugget. They have the best two-way shooting variance of any team in the last 30 years through two games to get here. Now it's two games, but they've been on fire, and their opponents they played so far have not made anything. I think Texas is kind of a tough matchup for them. Dalen Swain, kind of a powerful athletic guard, the prototype that's given that team trouble. But Purdue does feel like they're starting to play better after they had that mini lull. I think the number's about right. Maybe you could argue Texas has a little bit. I made this six for the record, so only about a point off the real one. Nothing here, but I think Texas has some good matchup advantages that we've seen other teams Purdue play struggle against.
Yeah, if there's a total you want to chime in on as well, please feel free. Actually, yeah. I won't do these chronologically. I'll do it by region. Makes more sense. So the Purdue-Texas winner, the 2-11 game out west, plays the winner of Arizona and Arkansas, the 1-4 game, later that night. Arkansas, a 8-point dog against the number one seed Wildcats.
Yeah, it feels big. I have a future in Arkansas. I think this is one where it's either there's been a few of these matchups so far where you either like the favorite or you like the money line for the dog. I think this is I don't see an in-between situation. Arkansas's defense is super leaky, but they are athletic. You can see them maybe playing up defensively because we know how good they can how dynamic they are offensively with Acuff at the point of attack. The number feels high, but it's high because the total is high, right? So I think this will play closer to like, you know, it'll play closer to like a 10-point spread here. I like the over, no official bet, but I just think this is going to be a, you know, up and down ping pong pace with a ton of efficiency both ways.
Most closely lined game of the Sweet 16. We go to the South region. The 4-seed Nebraska Cornhuskers, the 9th-seeded Iowa Hawkeyes. Nebraska favored by 1.5.
I like Iowa here. Almost bet this. Just a good matchup, right? Iowa's not super athletic, not super big. Both games, they played them super close. They beat them once regular season. The other one, they lost in overtime. And Nebraska no longer has that crazy home court advantage that I think was very, very real. Probably worth a point or two in that first, those first two games. I mean, Kat said it was the best home court crowd he's ever seen in a first, an opening regional site. So I think Iowa wins this game.
Lowest total of all the Sweet 16 games, by the way. We're showing 134.5. I'm seeing some 133.5s here as well. Winner of Iowa, Nebraska. Takes on the winner of what I think most would say is the best game on Thursday night, Illinois-Houston, the 3-2 game in the South region with the Cougars favored by 3.
Yeah, Houston took some money here. Probably think one of the
3.5 we're showing now.
Yeah, the 3.5. So I don't know. I just think Houston's guards were too good, man. They were just they shredded A&M. Illinois size is going to be a real kind of you might have to get used to for Houston, but Houston's played, you know, they Big 12. They've seen some big teams. And I think they're categorically more athletic on the perimeter. I think that shows up here. I don't want to lay 3.5. That feels a little bit too big. But I think instinctually that's where my head's at.
Okay. To Friday night, DC, maybe the best couple games of any region. St. John's and Duke. Dukey's favored by 6.5 here.
I like the Johns. This is my only official bet of this round. I took 7. Just think their physicality and size up front is going to give Duke some problems. I think people have been overplaying that narrative. I think Duke still advances. But it's hard to see a Rick Pitino team getting, you know, beat by more than a touchdown, especially against a Duke team that's not 100%. The injury situation with Foster and Big Pat's going to be key to watch as we get closer to tip and how much they're going to play. But I think a brittle Duke team is not one, not ripe to cover this.
Sadly, Matt, you and I, it's the only bet I have too. St. John's plus the points. Yep. What could go wrong? Winner of that game takes on the 2-3 game in the East, Michigan State and UConn, UConn being the 2 seed, UConn favored by 2.
Tough matchup here. I went back and forth. If Michigan State continues to get some production from, they really have like, they're number two, the 2 position for them. They're kind of off guard next to Fears. We know they have Cohen Carr, who's a freak, but have a ton of bigs. If they keep getting production from guys like Kurtang and Trey Ford, sort of these unsung heroes, I think they're the better team here. That's really been the key for Michigan State all year. When they've had issues, they've not got production from that 2 spot. But so far in this tournament lately, they have. I think that kind of makes them pretty scary. You know, not just in this matchup, but potentially going down the road to the Final Four.
All right, to the Midwest, Alabama, Michigan. Surprise, Alabama still alive. They made their seeding, but Michigan's favored by 10. Biggest spread, highest total, 175.5.
Yeah, similar to the Arizona, Arkansas, it feels high, but it's because it's such a high total. So it's just that kind of stretches out the margin of victory there. Just don't know how well Bama's bigs are going to match up inside. But if they continue to do what they did against, we saw them do it against Hofstra, actually first round. Oates just let those bigs step out in the, you know, behind the line, just start, you know, stroking it from three. If they're hot, I think that's how Michigan can get beat. We saw Wisconsin do that to Michigan this year, just go 5 out. If your bigs can make threes consistently, you can kind of tilt the math in your favor. That's a big ask, though. They have to make a lot of threes to keep up with Michigan's just, you know, they basically are flawless on both ends at this point. But that's the one area you can kind of pick on them.
All right, and then the winner of that takes on the 2-6 game in the Midwest. Iowa State favored by 4 over Tennessee.
Yeah, it's funny. The market has Tennessee rated lower than most of the models because the fact that, just for example, KenPom has this a 4-point deficit, and then Josh Jefferson for Iowa State, I mean, if he's not going to play, he's worth at least 2 points. I stayed away here. I think Tennessee's a tough matchup, though, especially if Jefferson's not 100% or can't go. Going to be a tough one there for the clones to overcome.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
Mark Borchardt joins us now to talk Major League Baseball because the season begins tomorrow night. He joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and, of course, the host of a BetUS baseball show, which he does multiple times a week. How you doing, Mark? Oh, we don't have Mark's audio.
I bet he's saying something really fascinating right now.
I'm sure he is. Well, see? Should I read more tweets before we get that?
Yeah, try that again. Yeah.
All right. No emu. No emu. Doug. I love those commercials. And Doug.
they still crack me up.
Mr. Gill, would a dominant pro tennis player show up and lose to meet contract obligations and then to get a few days off before the next match? Yes, happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Game Time Jones. I think there's a correlation with Lee winning Coach of the Year and Charlotte winning the division. 40-1, much nicer than 4-1. That's for sure. Another great point about Lee's candidacy for Coach of the Year.
Oh, that division's chaos.
Nathaniel Schumann. I have Arizona 30-1 to win the NCAA Natty. When to cash out? He's already ready to cash out. Also, I have Tim Hardaway Jr. at 100-1 for six man. Do you think that has any shot?
I don't think he's completely out of it. Okay. He was one of the 7 guys that I listed. I mean, again, it's one of 7 guys.
Let's see if Mark Borchardt can join us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, you there?
Yeah, you gave me such a good intro. I wanted you to do it again.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and of course, part of the BetUS show, which he does multiple times a week. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody.
Hey!
You're the best, Gil. You must be the voice of sports betting.
Must be that. Must be that. Thank you. It's very kind of you to say. I don't know if I accept that moniker, but thank you. Mark, we've talked about...
If it's not you, who else is it? I tell you what, Gil, I'm going to pat you on the back. You were doing this stuff way before, and VSiN's great. They do a good job over there, but you preceded them by 8 years. So you are the voice of sports betting, in my opinion.
There you go.
Todd, you know what Todd Wishnev... Thank you, Mark. It's very nice of you. Very kind of you. Todd Wishnev...
You're a pioneer. Legend, perhaps.
But I called.
That's such a horrible word. I'm with Bob on that. It's like it makes you think like you're 80 years old, which maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe Bob's 80. I don't know.
No, he's not 80. No, he's 60. But he the thing about Bob though is it wasn't enough for him to say I don't like Pioneer. It makes me feel old. He then followed up with I prefer Legend, and that is why we keep busting on him because who says that?
And now he complains because he's like, Gil, I said that one time. I go, the one is all it took. Yeah. One is all it took.
Well, one thing about Bob is he doesn't have a problem with being confident. No, and you know what? Not. He should be. He does a hell of a job. So if anybody's going to be confident, it's going to be him. And I'm all for that. You all know, right. He does a really good job. What a great handicapper he is. He's a legend in my mind, at
he
least.
He is. He is in mine as well. I am fortunate to learn on his knee. What's the expression? Well, I don't know what the expression is.
Anyway. Yeah, sure. I get it.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Baseball. Hey, Mark, I don't know if you know this, but baseball starts tomorrow night. Were you aware of this? Tomorrow night, Giants and Yankees on Netflix.
It's so cool. Talk about old. I mean, we're streaming on Netflix. Who would have guessed that? Talk about when we started. We wouldn't have said, hey, you know, in 2026, they're going to stream on Netflix. We wouldn't even have that concept. You know, I think they were still sending the CDs out in the mail when we started.
Yeah. So true. All right. So we've talked about a lot of different things. You've given us exactas. Some awards markets, some stats stuff. How about some yes, no playoff stuff? I don't think we got to that. Didn't you have some of those in the holster?
I've got all the playoffs by division. I don't know where you can. Why don't you just reel them off to me? I'll tell you whether it's
okay,
good or
well,
bad.
Well, let's start with the AL East, right? Let's do this. I'll call up the actual ones. But let's start with the I'll do the DraftKings numbers on these. The Yankees are at 90.5.
Oh, I thought we were doing playoffs. Are we doing playoffs?
Oh, yes,
make
I'm
the
sorry.
Playoffs?
I'm sorry. Yes. I got locked up in my season wins. Pardon me. See, I've been doing this so long, I got senile with it. All right. Yes, no playoffs on the Yankees. Just as a point of sort of contextually, they're 90.5 in their season wins. They're supposed to win the division. But what do you have them in the playoffs? Yes or no?
I've got them at -432 to make the playoffs. They're priced. I'm looking at the pricing now. So -270. So that's a good bet for the Yankees.
Okay. Blue Jays.
Blue Jays, I've got at -134 and they're at -200. So that would be a bad bet. I'm not seeing the can you do no to, but I can't really see that anywhere.
Yeah, I
but,
got it.
Your hockey guy, who's the hockey guy that you had on? He made a good point. Like, you know, it's better to play these teams if you can. To play him no than yes, because most people want to play him yes. I agree with him wholeheartedly on that, Gil.
Okay, so yes on the Yankees is a good bet.
Blue Jays, yep. Yes, -200, no +160 over at DraftKings.
No is +160. Let's go that way, because it should be -134, Kelly. Good job.
What was the official Red Sox? Was that or the Blue Jays before that? What was it? Blue Jays was a no. Red Sox was a
Blue Jays, no plus 160. Good bet.
No, but what was the one before what we just did? We did Yankees.
You're losing it, dude.
Wait a minute.
Yankees -270.
Did we just do two or did we do three?
Just two.
Yankees and Blue Jays. Three. Okay.
Ask him the third now. Red Sox?
Red Sox. Yeah. Kelly went rogue. Red Sox.
Red Sox, -182 by my comparisons in the market. So it's about what it is in the market, but -170 there. No.
Yeah, right. No price so plus 135.
No play. Let's.
Orioles.
Orioles are +115 by the model, and let's see where they are in the odds. I'm not seeing them in the. There they are. They're -115. So no, nothing either way on them, Gil.
Okay, and then the Rays.
Rays are +529 by the model, +310, and it's probably on the comeback. It's probably no play either way.
Okay, so best of the AL East is.
Yankees to make it, Blue Jays to not make it.
There you go. Yankees to make it, Blue Jays to not make it. We'll get with the other divisions. We'll try to be more, and by we, I mean me, try to be more organized with this. It's a numbers game. Mark Borchardt, base winner, coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. The tournament is underway, but it's not too late to become the king of March on ProfitX. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals, hit your volume goal, and you're entered to win a free trip worth up to $10,000. No entry fee required, hit $1,000 in volume, and you're in for the $5,000 trip. Hit $10,000, you're going for the $10,000 trip. Download ProfitX, use code VSiNMM, win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot. You got to shoot your shot to earn your shot. We get tweets meeting the book, Anthony Ventresca. Another iguana fun fact. During the last cold front we had in January, the Florida Wildlife Commission allowed people to collect and transport the cold stunned iguanas to some FWC locations, an interesting way to try to combat the invasive species. See, when they're frozen, you just grab them and you just put them in and you send them
to the authorities.
Pick them up and ship them out.
There's also a thing where they started allowing people to go vigilante on the iguanas. That's a whole nother thing, too.
Yeah, and the...
not fun.
Pythons? What's the snakes they got down there? I don't remember. Dude, that's like open...
You should see the size of these iguanas.
It's like open hunting season down there.
Denver Lance, the NBA Clutch Player of the Year market available at some books is interesting. Luka number seems crazy, he says. Bobby Geddes... Sorry if this came up already, but regarding the NIT not having games on Monday through Wednesday, that has to be a deal for the women's tournament, right? So that they don't have direct competition. I have to think that that's true.
I mean, yeah, but isn't there nothing today?
That's what I'm... Well, yeah, so there, you're right. So we lose out on both today. And then Dan Groeschel. I think legend is appropriate to use for Dr. Bob, as we all learned in the documentary The Sandlot. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. And Steve the Proxy says, with baseball season upon us, it's always fun to bash MLB for blackouts. With Vegas blacking out, San Francisco, Arizona, San Diego, the Dodgers, the A's, and the Angels were excluded from 20% of the league's games. What makes the least sense is, why are those teams blacked out on the road? If the Mets are playing the Dodgers in New York, why is that blacked out? Am I supposed to just take a quick trip to Queens and come back to support the local team? What decade is this? Hey, Rob Manfred has it all figured out. All figured out. Don't you worry.
Two NIT games today. Wichita State and Tulsa. St. Joseph's in New Mexico.
And Minky Monkey Man says, Gil gets referred to as a pioneer and immediately slips into cognitive incapacity. That's because I was already on the third team and Kelly went back to the second team odds. My goodness. Okay, I'm back. Mark Borchardt is back as well. Bay's winner, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, you want to continue with this?
I'm having fun today. Cognitive decline on the voice of sports betting. Just, I mean, unbelievable. Yeah.
It took us
like a 15-minute segment to get to one division in the playoffs.
That's
so
right.
Let's try to, 20, I guess we could go.
20 years okay. Down the drain in one segment. Here we go. Detroit Tigers, 85.5. The over is at minus, that's the season wins again. Make this playoffs. Jesus. The playoffs, yes, no's, because this is very hard to navigate with it. So what do you got? Detroit Tigers.
I have them at minus, 53.7, minus 116, and they're priced in an in market at minus 185. So there's probably, Kelly's going to do on the no. He's going to give us the no values.
Yeah,
what's the
no
price on that, Kelly?
Plus 150.
Yeah, that's a good one. No on the Tigers.
Okay, no on the Tigers. How about the?
And we're goofing off a little bit, but I want to stress, if you guys are just listening, they're like, "Who's this joker?" I run like really detailed Monte Carlo simulations. I spend hours on ratings, and I actually seed all these teams, and then run the run the projections. I don't know 2,000 times. So these are decent numbers, even though we're goofing off a little bit.
We should. You're right though. We should always reset that for people who are just listening for the first time. And your BetUS show is how many times a week, Mark?
We do 5 days a week. I'm not on Wednesday, but the other guys are pretty good too. Not as good as me, of course, Gil. I'll be the confident guy, right?
Wow. So talk about
pioneer. Monday through Friday, and we're gonna do it actually at 9 a.m. PST. So I'm gonna have to change my time to earlier for you guys. Hi, Kelly. Just want to let you know about that.
Right? Sounds good, Mark. We have a lot of off-air conversations on air. It's fine.
All right, Kansas City Royals. Kansas City Royals. Yes, plus 130. No, minus 160.
This one I like. I like Kansas City at minus 212. And so that's plus money on the Royals. It's one of my favorite plays. That's a good play. And you look at their pitching and their relief, but the hitting's great. They've got, Pasquantino and Garcia and Witt. And I mean, they're loaded. They're like fourth in baseball by my hitting rating. So that's one that I really like, the Royals to make the playoffs.
Guardians, yes, plus 230. No, minus 290.
I have them at plus 197 to make it. So do what you will with that.
Do what you will with that. Doesn't sound like a play to me. Twins, yes, plus 425 to make the playoffs. No, minus 600.
I think the minus 600 is decent. It should be minus 930 to not make the playoffs based on the Sims.
All right, White Sox. White Sox. So a lot of people are bullish on this year. Yes is big money, 16-1.
Yeah, I've got them with a 0.5% chance, which I guess is better than last year. But I don't think, can you bet no on that? Like, what do you have to lay like $50 to win one or something like that?
Well,
that's a good bet there.
It's funny you should ask. You can lay exactly $50 for the no. That's what you would have to lay. All right, to the American League or Western Division, Seattle Mariners. Yes, minus 280. The no is plus 220.
This is a jewel. I've got a 91.7% chance to make the playoffs. So it should be minus 1,100. So that, I mean, lay the wood on that one.
Yeah. Lay the wood on the Mariners to make. Texas Rangers, yes, plus 115, no minus 140.
I've only got them, Gil, you're not going to like this, 17.4% chance to make the playoffs. So it should be minus 475 to the no.
Boy, between Drew and Mark today, it's been rough going. It's been rough going on the show today.
For you, man.
Houston, Astros, yes, minus 150, no, minus 105. As coin flippy as it gets.
I would say the no on that. I would say no would be minus 196, so that's a good play.
Okay. Good luck finding the Athletics because they don't have a team name. So yes, plus 380, no, minus 500.
I've got no minus 319. So I guess yes, plus 380 would be a little bit of value, the slightest amount of value there.
Slightest bit. And then the LA Angels to close out the American League. Yes is 8-1. No is minus 1,400.
2.1% chance to make the playoffs. So it should be minus 4,667. So, I mean, lay it, I guess.
Okay. So the best in the American League, then, you would say would be, give us the three best.
Mariners and Royals. I think you're good there. And if you can parlay those things, I think that both those teams will make it. So
okay.
Hopefully they do. And we're talking about it in playoff time.
And at least rapid fire. Atlanta Braves. Okay. Yes, minus 170. No, plus 140.
Atlanta Braves to make the playoffs. 75% chance. Minus 305. So yes.
Yes. Phillies, minus 310, yes. No, plus 235.
No, but they only have a 48% chance to make the playoffs.
New York Mets, a lot of people very bullish on the Mets this year. Yes, minus 350, no, plus 270.
I am bullish, too. I've got them at 86%, minus 647, so that's a good play, Gil.
Miami Marlins, yes, 6-1, no, minus 1,000.
I've got him with a 6.7% chance, so I would bet the no on that. It should be minus 1,300, no.
All right, then Nationals, 16-1, yes, 50, minus 5,000, no.
I got him with a 0.3% chance to make the playoffs. Yeah. That's lousy, so yeah.
Okay. To the Central, Chicago Cubs, yes is minus 250, no plus 195.
Minus 199 to make it is what the projections say.
Oh, okay, so not a bet then, really.
Yeah, it's kind of right in the straddle there, right?
Milwaukee Brewers, yes is minus 120. The no is even money. Pretty coin flippy here.
I love the Brewers here. I've got an 82% chance to make the playoffs, minus 456. And we talked about that, you know, all the components add up there for the Brewers.
Cincinnati Redlegs, yes is plus 180. No, minus 225.
I've got them with a 29.6% chance. So yes should be plus 238.
The Buccos, the Pittsburgh Pirates, yes plus 225, no minus 290.
Oh, I take the no on that. I only have a 5% chance, and like I'm at odds with some baseball hipsters on this, but the Pirates just don't rate well with my numbers. So no on that one's a good one, Gil.
And the Cardinals 7-1, yes minus 1,100, no to make the playoffs.
Minus 1,100. No, that's pretty good. I mean, I know it's a lot of juice to lay, but I don't see that team making the playoffs, Gil.
Okay. Dodgers, minus 5,000, yes, to make the playoffs. 18-1, you know, no.
I've got them with a 99.3% chance. Now, what's interesting about, I want to talk a little bit about the division for the Dodgers, because you talked a little bit about the Pecota simulations. Pecota has the Dodgers winning like 99.9% of the 99.5 or something. And mine are like 93.5, and Fangraphs is actually identical to my 93.5. And so like it would justify minus 700. It would actually justify laying that if you can, you know, depending on how much you can get down at that price, Gil.
10 seconds.
But I don't know. You can't do it for the Dodgers. I think the 99.3 chance to make the playoffs, Gil.
10 seconds on each. Padres, yes, even money, no minus 120.
No minus 120. Great play.
San Francisco, yes, plus 190, no minus 230.
No minus 230.
Arizona. You love Arizona. Arizona, let's see. Yes, 2-1. No minus 250.
Yes, 2-1. That's a great price. It should be plus 115, you know.
And the Rockies are 35-1. Yes. I don't think you like that.
No. You know what? I've got them at with a 9% chance. So that's okay. Not a bad like flyer, right?
Not terrible.
All right.
Mark, play ball. Appreciate it. Mark Borchardt, everybody.
Yes, sir.